Thank you, Adam. So good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and good afternoon, and hope you're all staying safe and well. This is Ahmed Hazem from ESG Hermes Research, and we are pleased to welcome you today to Nakilat's second quarter 2020 results conference call. We have with us on the line Mr. Hani Abu Akhir, CFO of Nakilat, and Mr. Fotios Zeritis, Head of Investor Relations. Today's conference call will include a brief on the results, updates on the market conditions, and a Q&A session towards the end. So with that, I'd like to hand over the call to Fotios. Fotios, please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. Welcome to Nakilat's semi-annual conference call. I would like to ensure that everybody stays safe and take all the precautions because we have a strange timing with this COVID-19. For your convenience, the transcript of this call and presentation will be available on the company's investor relations section of our website. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. Many of our remarks contain forward-looking statements, and for factors that cause actual results to differ materially from these forward-looking statements, please refer to the slide 2 of the investor relations presentation. In addition, some of our remarks contain non-IFRS financial measures. A reconciliation of this is included in the note of the presentation. Nakilat CFO Hani Abu Akhir will begin today's call with discussion of company's semi-annual highlights and the results, followed by a brief discussion of group's financial position and business activity. After which, I will give you an overview of LNG shipping market, and finally, Hani will take you through the company's business outlook. We will then be happy to address any of your requests and questions. Now, I would like to hand it over to the CFO of Nakilat, Mr. Hani Abu Akhir. Hani, please.
Thank you, Fotios. Thank you, everyone, for attending, and welcome to Nakilat semi-annual earnings results for 2020. I hope that all of you and your families and friends and loved ones are safe and follow the precautious measures against the COVID-19 epidemic. Before we get into our results, we will take a moment to say thank you to all our seafarers and shore based staff for their extraordinary dedication to maintain business continuity and resilience during these extremely challenging times. Turning to slide 5, you can see some of Nakilat COVID-19 preventative measures. We are pleased to report that all our seafarers are well and healthy. The safety of our people remains our priority. Without healthy workforce, we cannot deliver to our customers, and without delivering to our customer, we will not be able to achieve a good result to our shareholders and stakeholders. It is as much simple as that. It goes without saying that Nakilat has taken COVID-19 extensive mitigation measures to ensure safe and reliable operations. The COVID-19 outbreak posed unprecedented challenges to commercial and operating environment during the first 6 months of 2020. Nakilat has navigated seamlessly due to its operating resilience, and our long-term contract to cover has ensured that it had a minimal impact of Nakilat operation and cash flow and eventually our results. Since the current situation continues to be fluid worldwide, it is our duty to closely monitor the development of coronavirus outbreak and its potential implication on global LNG shipping. Now, turning to slide number 7 and 8 of the presentation, you can see some of Nakilat's recent highlights, as well as a few key takeaways that summarizes how we believe Nakilat is uniquely positioned today. Due to Nakilat's solid defensive business model and balanced growth strategy execution, they allowed us to generate an increase in revenue and EBITDA and earnings per share compared to the first half of 2019. Now I will begin with Nakilat financial highlights for the first 6 months of 2020. As you can see, I'm pleased to report that Nakilat had a strong set of financial results for the first half of 2020, despite the challenges related to COVID-19. we have achieved 550 million rial net profit compared to 476 million rial profit during the same period in 2019, which is translated to an increase of close to 15.5%. In addition, Nakilat EBITDA was also increased by 11.5% year over year to reach 1.6 billion. The company's strong financial performance is primarily attributed to operational excellence in the management of our entire fleet and the realization of additional revenue that we have generated through the acquisition of the remaining 49.9% of our Q-Flex vessels from previous joint venture in October 2019. In addition, we continue to focus on our overhead costs and ensure that we do achieve the expected savings and implement the right initiatives, which has resulted in decreasing our G&A by almost 11.7% in compared to 2019. I hope all of the above emphasize that Nakilat's ability to deliver the required return and operating cash flow during a soft LNG spot market, shipping spot market. Now I'm going to turn to slide number 10 and 11. We also maintain a solid balance sheet with a total assets of close to 3.4 billion, cash balance of almost close to 2.2 billion, and our scheduled debt amortization continue as a repayment of our loans. It will free up our balance sheet capacity. This deleverage process benefits investors by building financial flexibility through higher equity base and through interest rate expense savings. Since 2014, we have already paid close to 4.9 billion rial in debts. We're reducing debt balances, will reduce our cash flow break-even over time, improving our competitiveness of our fleet. Due to the acquisition of the 4 Q-Flex in October 2019 and the change of the accounting treatment from equity methods to full consolidation, our second half net borrowing has reached to 21 billion rial. We are confident that our financial foundation is strong because we are, and it is very manageable in a sense that of our debt repayment, which is based on our long-term cash flow visibility through our fixed long-term charter contracts. Finally, Nakilat's current ratio is standing at 1.12. Our return of equity is at 11.64 due to our optimization of our utilization of our fleet and continuous effort to cost savings, which is will benefit our shareholders and different stakeholders. Now, let me hand it back to Fotios to take you through an overview of the LNG shipping market. So, Fotios, if you can, please take it from here.
Thank you, Hani. During the last few months, LNG shipping and energy equity markets have experienced enormous volatility, but our defensive business model has largely been insulated from this volatility and unprecedented global economic conditions. Now I will give you an overview of how COVID-19 pandemic affects the global LNG shipping market in the second quarter of 2020. In addition, the developments of LNG shipping markets are shown on our presentation from slide 12 to slide 14 that you can see it in our website. Global LNG demand continues to be impacted by both COVID-19 pandemic and the global economic weakness. The lack of LNG demand and arbitrage, meaning that the sentiment in the freight market has been weak in the second quarter of 2020. With the current spot charter rates for modern two-stroke tonnage of around $34,000 per day and $29,000 per day for DFDs. Additionally, owners have been facing stiff competition from portfolio players and traders as they have been increasingly active in the markets with relays. The global LNG shipping has been growing rapidly over the last few years, driven by the ramp-up of new liquefaction projects in Australia and the United States, and the surging demand in Asia. As per Gas Exporting Countries Forum, the pace of LNG supply growth is forecasted to ease significantly to around 3.5 to 5% in 2020, compared to a strong 12% growth in LNG supply recorded in 2019. Emerging Asian markets remain the driving force behind the expansion of LNG imports led by China and India. As you can see on the slide 13 of our presentation, coronavirus outbreak had an adverse impact of LNG shipping segment during the second quarter of 2020. With already non-existing arbitrage, the LNG shipping rates have softened and the market expects the charter rates to remain soft in the upcoming quarters. According to Potter & Partners, assess the one-year LNG shipping charter rate at approximately $60,000 per day for mega XDFs, $48,000 per day for DFDs, and $28,000 per day for steams, which is a very helpful benchmark when discussing term charter opportunities. Now, please turn to the slide 14 of our presentation. After showing strong new build ordering momentum in 2019, new LNG ship orders have dried up in the first half 2020, with only three conventional shipping LNG shipping vessels compared to 24 conventional LNG vessel orders in the first 6 months of 2019. In the first half 2020, the LNG new build price cost for a vessel have been stabilized at an average price of $186 million approximately. As of June 2020, 12 vessels only have been delivered within 2020, and with further another 24 vessels we are scheduled to be delivered the remaining of the year. Furthermore, you can see the global LNG fleet has a total 522 vessels in operation and another 110 vessels on order book as per Clarksons. This implies an increase of 21% of the total LNG fleet in terms of number of vessels as of June 2020. The current LNG fleet age profile is approximately 11 years old, relatively young. Note that only the 4% of the current operating standard size LNG fleet is above 30 years old. In the first 6 months of 2020, there have been reported three vessels that have been demolition, compared to only two vessels in 2019 and one vessel in 2018. Now, I would like to mention as a final market note that market participants believe that the LNG shipping market will be volatile in the upcoming quarters due to a combination of dynamics and factors such as a compressed global shipping average of ton mile and incremental availability of shipping tonnage in the market. In a long-term point of view, the LNG demand will be stimulated by the current price levels as we see it happening in the first 6 months of 2020 with India and Europe. Due to the fact that LNG is a clean fueling, it will enhance LNG's attractiveness of energy consumers. In this way, it will accelerate the switch from coal to gas consumption, and this will be driven by the increased industrial output. Now, I would like to hand it back to Mr. Hani Abouaker to give you an insight into Nakilat's business outlook. Hani, please go ahead.
Thanks, Fotios, again, for this brief of the LNG shipping market outlook for the second half. Okay, and now we move into slide 16. I will shortly discuss about Nakilat business outlook for 2020. Of course, we don't know how this global economic crisis and pandemic will ultimately end, including how long it will last, how much economic damage it will continue to do, and for how long. However, we always strive to navigate through this unprecedented storm and to maintain our sustainable return to our long-term shareholders. We should mention that the vast majority of our vessels are on term charter, and they continue to receive their hires as per the term charter parties with no exposure to commodity price fluctuation. So regarding the Naqilat LNG shipping business segment, our new vessel delivery has so far been unaffected by the COVID-19. Last month, we took the delivery of Global Energy, which is commercially and technically managed in-house by Naqilat. Currently, the vessel has entered into a short-term charter until we can finalize a long-term potential opportunities in the future. In addition, it is worth to mention that Naqilat has taken three LNG carriers under the management of our shipping arm, our operating shipping company, Naqilat Shipping Qatar Limited, from SASCO in the past 6 months. So this is will bring the total number of vessels managed by us, or about to 22 vessels, which is consist of 18 LNG and 4 LPG carriers. This is a great achievement and a testament for Naqilat's operational capabilities during unprecedented challenging period around the world. In 2020, we expect to weather the current challenge and challenging economic environment, as well as the soft LNG shipping market, and we will have potentially another successful year for Naqilat. Again, this is due to our management effort to maximize the utilization of our fleet and optimize our operating expenses. In addition, we are persistently working with the shipyard team or joint ventures to minimize the negative impact of COVID-19. And also, we should really expect the full impact of the because it's only one quarter left of the acquisition of the INSW or the 4Q Flex in the next quarter. And this is will should provide us with additional revenue going forward. So in summary, we have a strong liquidity balance sheet, very manageable debt maturity, and therefore we have a strong financial foundation, which is shall translate into a good benefit to our shareholders and stakeholders. Naqilat Inc. debt has the best credit rating by International Credit Rating Agency among its peers and provides a sustainable total return to its stakeholders and shareholders. So all of the above make Naqilat a unique in a unique situation, which is favorable compared to other peers companies. Before we open the call for the questions, I would like to close out by saying again to recognize Naqilat seafarers and their employees for their dedication and professionalism under these challenging times. As things open up, it will become more clear for us about what to expect. I'm sure you guys are facing the same kind of current reality. However, during the uncertain time, we take the comfort in our robust business model, which is with a fully fixed LNG fleet, strong financial foundation, and dedicated seafarer who will keep everyone safe, hopefully as we come back to the normal situation. With that, I will ask the operator to open the chance for everyone to ask questions. So please go ahead.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad, or if you're joining us online, please click the flag icon. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your headset is fully plugged in and unmuted locally. Our first question comes from Santosh. Santosh, your line is now open.
Yeah, thanks. Hello, Hani and Portios. Hope both of you are doing well. So my question is regarding global energy LNG vessels, which you have received in the last few days. So by when do you think we will start getting the full contribution of this vessel on Nakilat financials? So just a question, will we see the complete contribution in the third quarter? And my second question is, how long is this short charter duration? So 3 months or maybe 6 months? I mean, I'm just asking you, giving you some numbers, but you can give your views. Thank you.
You should really start to see it in this quarter, to start to see that contribution for the new vessel. It is, we don't usually disclose the duration for our charter hire, especially if it's a short term, and this is also part of our fiduciary duties to our charterer. But you should say something that is, it's not more than, it's less than 7 months. So usually short term, it could go between 3 to 6 months. So it is, I would say, it is less than 7 months.
Okay, thanks. And in case I can ask one more question. So we are hearing a lot on IMO 2030 and 2050 regulations. So, I mean, though the regulations themselves are, I think, not very clear. So related to that, are you planning for some engine retrofit in coming years? Though you have, significant time ahead of you, so you can plan. But as of now, any decision on engine retrofit?
As a global shipping company, and particularly one of the, actually is the largest by capacity, we continue, our fleet team and technical team continue to look into to ensure that we are in compliance with IMO 2030 and 2050. I'm sure they're exploring all potential options, and they are really aware of what is expected and needed. And I'm sure that they are monitoring what is everyone is doing in the market. However, nothing yet is being announced or disclosed, or being concluded. If anything is going to be concluded or decided, definitely we're going to go back to the market and announce it right away, and we will share it with you. So, yes, you have to be assured that we are always, as we have, whether the 2020 IMO regulation and we were fine, I'm sure we will continue to be fine over the 2030 and also 2050 in the long term. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I think that's all I have. Thanks a lot.
And as a reminder, it is star followed by one on your telephone keypad, or if you're joining us online, please click the flag icon. We have a question from Nafez Alabas from Aziz Capital. Nafez, your line is now open.
Thank you, gentlemen, for hosting the call. I just have one question regarding the... I know it's difficult to give details on the new fleet order, but can you shed some light on the item that QP published about preserving the capacity of shipbuilders? Is there a possibility that QP may be, forming a separate company to file these vessels under, and maybe the new vessels will not be managed by Nakilat? Is that a possibility?
Thank you very much. Yeah, go ahead, Fotios, you can answer.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Thank you for the question. As we have said many times in our calls, this project is handled in honor of QP and Qatargas, and they are, these companies are involved and they are owners of this project. So always we let these companies to comment on this. We don't usually comment for other people's on behalf. As you can see, yes, they have done their own announcement about the reserve some slots of shipyard, but we don't comment actually other people projects. As, of course, as Nakilat, we have a long-term relationship with the QP and Qatargas all these years, and the majority of our fleet is chartered to Qatargas, and we are happy for that. We maintain great relations of communication. But we generally don't like to comment on other people's projects. I don't know if Hani wants to add something.
Not really, exactly. It's, this is, this is something is related to Qatar Petroleum and Qatar Gas. They are the one who's been announcing about the ambitious Qatari project. So they will for sure advise the market about their strategy as it unfolds in the future. We leave it up to them to really decide when and what and how they can carry on. And that's the best we can do. I hope
answered your question. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Jonathan Milan from Waha Capital. Jonathan, your line is now open. Jonathan Milan from Waha Capital, your line is open. It appears we have no further questions at present. We do have a question from Nikhil Arora from Franklin Templeton. Nikhil, your line is now open.
Yeah, hi, gentlemen. Thank you so much for hosting the call. If I may ask a couple of questions, my first question is, I think there is something of the order of like 500 million riyals on your cash flow statement, which is like a loan to JVs. Can you explain, like, you know, what kind of loan is this and to which JV was this extended? And then my second question is, the new vessel that you're talking about with a contract of less than 7 months, is there an expectation of that being converted into a long-term charter, or is this how it's going to be going in the future?
Yeah, I think I will answer both questions just to give you a highlight, and maybe I'll leave the second question also if Fotios wants to elaborate. About the loan, you have to understand this is the loan that we providing to the joint venture to for the payment of the shipbuilding of these four vessels. So as you know that we have four vessels, one is just got delivered, one towards the end of the year, and then two next years. So this is exactly, it is the payment for towards the shipbuilding of these vessels. So we have to provide it as a loan to our joint venture. Hopefully in the future, if one of the vessels being delivered and deployed and then get financed, for sure, maybe we will get that money towards us. Second question is about, definitely our aim is always to go for a long term. This is what Nakilat's ambition all the time, and that ambition is just also, this is our philosophy and strategy, is just to lock in into the long term. This is how we can really generate and provide a better added value return to our shareholders. So yeah, hopefully in the future we will try to secure these ones in the long term. That's our aim. projects, if you want to add anything, please go ahead.
Yes, I want actually to add on this question is that you have to understand that Nakilat, as the world's largest LNG shipping company, maintains strong relations with charterers worldwide, and we continue to have communication with the market participants on this matter. You need to understand that when there is unfavorable market condition and economic uncertainty around the world, the long-term charter party agreement needs additional interim time to be concluded between the delivery of the vessel from the shipyards and the delivery of the vessels or term charter. So as the CFO said previously, we aim to charter the vessels on term contracts and longer contracts. But at the moment, because of these conditions, we need a little bit more time on that. We hope that we answer your question.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for that. And on the first one regarding the loan to the JV, so is this like done now, or do you think you'll be extending more loans to them, right? Because two more vessels are expected next year, right?
Yeah, we will. You have to understand, as we build these vessels, we're extending the loan for them so they can do their own installments. Once these vessels get delivered, then they will do their own financing, and usually they return the money back to the shareholders. So in between, if you deliver two and then you have the other two within the initial one that were delivered, you collect the money back. So you might more or less, if you ask me the question, in a year time, or in a year and a half, or in a year time, you know, 6 months, you're going to see some money coming in and some money actually going out to pay for the newer one. But eventually, we should expect that that joint venture loan will be repaid, and only just we're going to be left with is just the equity portion. Okay?
Okay, sure. That's clear. So one more question is on the, I think, taking some of your additional vessels into your own management from the Statco. Like, can you give us an update on how many vessels are now under your management, and what's the plan for that over the next 2-3 years?
Go ahead. Right now, we took actually last week, we assumed the full management operation of QMAX, Flex LNG Bussambra, from Stasco. Bussambra is the third vessel that will come under of our management in SQL in 2020. And bringing our, right now, the total number of vessels managed by NSQL of 22 vessels. These 22 vessels comprised of 18 LNG carriers and 4 LPG carriers. So during 2020, we expect to take additional 4 vessels, 1 FSRU, for technical manager as well, including also the new delivery of vessels that will take at the end of the year of the new MEGI vessel.
Okay, thank you for that. Yes, and just one last question from my end is on the G&A expenses. I think there is some really good progress that we saw in this quarter. Is this the expected run rate going forward, about $25 million, or you know, do you think there was some one of this quarter that may not repeat from 3Q?
We should expect this as part of the company's DNA and the CEO's mandate and guidance and effort as a management, you know, continuous improvement and being competitive in the way we deliver our services and being cost conscious and try to make sure having cost savings, we never call it cost reduction, cost savings in the way we do things to ensure our long-term competitiveness, that's something will continue. That's something we will never stop doing. So we should really expect, you know, a lot of elements will contribute to that continuous improvement. And again, part of it could be in an absolute initiative that we take in the way we do things without definitely compromising any sort of reliability and the performance of our vessels. But we take measures in the way we do things. We make it more efficient, more nimble, more agile. As we take more vessels, you have to take into consideration it gives us synergies and provides us ability to utilize our infrastructures that we have built over the years so we can reap that benefit. So, and also will help us with that economy of scale. So that continuous improvement and synergies will continue with us for the at least coming quarters. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Omar Jabali. Omar, your line is now open. Omar Jabali, your line is open for your question.
Hi, this is Omkar from Decimal Point. I have one question. We have seen some decline in share of joint ventures. So could you please throw on some light on where this decline is coming from? Particularly, if it is coming from the LNG side or LPG side or shipbuilding in general.
Yeah, it has two factors. For one of them is, actually there are three, kind of. First of all, I hope you guys took into consideration that the vessels that we took over in October 2019, when we used to own close to 50%, they used to be reported into that line. So now we took it out of that line and we report it line by line. Second of all is that our LPG segment is not doing as great as the first quarter. The first quarter was really truly exceptional. It's still doing good in the second quarter, but not as good as the first one. Third is our shipyard ventures. As you know, the COVID-19 negative impact on our activities there, which is unacceptable, and that's what happened everywhere around the world, and even for every single shipyard anywhere in the world. So it really has contributed to that low activities, not enough absorption of overhead costs. We hope, as we said, as things open up, and that's what we see at least as of today, things will look better, or at least to catch up some of the, or cover some of our losses that have happened in these joint ventures or the LNG, the shipyard ventures, starting from, let's say, in the next couple of months, because we see some of the demand is coming or coming back. So this is really truly explained the reason for that difference between for the joint venture, for that share of profit from joint ventures.
Yeah, thanks. One more question. Regarding to the second new vessel which is expected to come by this year end, is it fair that we can assume utilization for that vessel from start of 2021?
Sorry, can you please repeat the questions again? I wasn't able to hear very well.
The second new vessel is expected to come, expected to deliver by this year end. So is it fair to assume a utilization for that vessel starting from the 2021?
That goes without saying. That's our aim, that these vessels, as they delivered, they will be serving and generating income for us, similar as to the one that we just delivered, which will start to really contribute somewhere in June this year. So yeah, we should really, in a normal case scenario, you should really assume that yes, it will generate some sort of return for us. Yes, starting from 2021.
Yeah, that's very clear. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Ranvi Sitani from HSBC. Ranvi, your line is now open.
Yes, hi, gentlemen. If I can ask about the dividends from JV, we saw in H1 a big increase versus last year. Is this timing difference or are the JVs paying a higher dividend? And if yes, which ones? And then if you can comment on the outlook of the LPG vessels for the remainder of the year.
Okay, I will take the first question and maybe Fotis can take the second one. Again, each GB will distribute their dividends periodically. So we should really, as money is being available, they do distribute dividends. Is it going to be more going forward? Not necessarily, but we should really expect different JVs to continue to contribute similar to the historical dividend rate. Now, maybe one of the JV, which is our we expect from our J5 ventures, we expect them to really distribute a little bit higher dividend going forward. But however, as we said, you should really look at our historical dividend distribution. Now, you have to take into consideration with some of them, if let's say they are hedged at 90% and they have 10%, or somebody or one of the JV is hedged at let's say 75% and 25% unhedged, they will really enjoy some of these lower interests, and that will translate into higher dividend. In addition to the normal or debt payment of debt, as we pay the debt is less or the interest rate expense is less. So, yeah, further you can say we expect the dividend to be same. If it's not, and it's potentially it will increase, for sure. I hope I answered you.
Yes, thank you.
I will take the LPG question. As we said, the first quarter of 2020, the LPG rates was at healthy level. However, at the second quarter, the COVID-19 pandemic has obviously affected the VLGC's rates and has decreased them. Specifically, in mid-June, we reached a very low level. However, after the June, July now, for example, Clarksons assessed the VLGC spot rates at approximately $20,000 per day. So we have seen a huge improvement from the mid of June. Due to COVID-19, which actually it's expected to cause some kind of volatility short term in the next few months, but in very long term picture, I believe it's favorable, and because there is no actually there is limited new LNG limited new vessel capacity that's coming to the market, and the LPG trade growth will continue to grow. So to summarize, short term we see a kind of volatility, but the big picture, it's the LPG growth will continue, and we'll see healthy levels again.
Okay. Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that's star one to ask a question, or if you're joining us online, please click the flag icon. As we have no further questions, I will now hand you back to the management team.
Thank you for that, Fotios and Mr. Henny. Would you like to give some any concluding remarks for the call for today?
I would like to thank all of you for taking again the time to participate in today's conference call. I would like to express my deep gratitude and appreciation to Nakilat employees. Time like this, we reinforce that our employees is the most important asset, and all your questions, we will try to really take it into consideration and be ready to answer it, even if you have to call us one-on-one anytime. Potias is available, and myself as well. And we just would like to wish you to stay safe and healthy, and hopefully that this will be over, and we're going to see you very soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your participation during this challenging time, and you should be sure that all your questions will be received from us, and we'll continue to communicate the capital markets feedback to the Nakilat management. Stay safe, and thank you so much.